And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered, of course, by our good friends over at Skip. Pete Jensen here with you, joined by Anna Dua and the great Jake Hahn. We're here for stat projections, yet another season preview episode. Pretty excited about this one every year, Anna. How's your summer going?
It's been good. It's almost coming to an end. I can smell September around the corner and Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And no better guest we could bring on, Pete, to discuss stats and point projections and win projections than Jake Hahn. Jake, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. Even better now that I'm chatting with you. I need to get both of your takes on one of the biggest news pieces over the last couple of weeks. Patrick Laine headed to the Montreal Canadiens, of all places, to try to rejuvenate his career here. Pete, we'll start with you. Any take on this? Any interest in Patrick Laine? Are we expecting him to score 20, 30, 40, hey, maybe 50 this year in Montreal? Where are you at on Laine?
Well, we ran a poll on the Fantasy Instagram page, and a lot of the general population, Anna, was pretty excited about his chances of bouncing back in Montreal and scoring 30-plus goals. That's a little too bullish for me right now, but I think he gets back to that, you know, 25-plus range, and it's a huge secondary scoring boost for Montreal. Make no mistake about it. Laine has more to give. We know it. He knows it, and it's going to be fun to watch him a little rejuvenated up in Montreal.
I could see him in the high 20s. That's as high as I would go for him this season with the Habs, just because he's not going to crack that top line. That top line for Montreal is pretty solidified. So you wonder if he's going to find chemistry on that second line. But Jake, I swear in that draft class, right, with Patrick Laine and Pierre-Luc Dubois, we're talking about their point projections for a different team every single offseason at this point.
Yeah, it's becoming like a late summer tradition, right? A fall tradition going into the season. Where's Pierre-Luc Dubois playing this year? Where's Patrick Laine playing this year? I actually do have some interest here. Guys, obviously the last couple of years have not gone well for him. I mean, most of his career outside of the first couple of years hasn't gone well. But there's going to be opportunity here in Montreal. And I think you make an excellent point about the Habs top line, which came together nicely last year, right? Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky. I think at least at the start of the season, they stick with that top line. Curious what the power play looks like. You got two guys that want to shoot the puck in Cole Caulfield and Patrick Laine, but these things tend to figure themselves out. So I'm going to be in on Patrick Laine, guys. I'm going to give him one shot here to see if he can turn things around in Montreal.
And that's the fun part, right? When you can pencil a guy in, or maybe even Sharpie him in on the first power play, right? He's the fourth forward on that unit, bar none. There's also going to be Matheson, who's a workhorse, or Lane Hutson, who I know Nick Alberga is high on. We'll get Nick's thoughts on Laine when he gets back from his voyage in Europe. But I'm looking forward to what Laine can do with, really, we look at the edge stats, right, Anna? One of the hardest shots in the league among forwards, Patrick Laine, even last year with Columbus.
I feel like the storyline for the Montreal Canadiens is just unreached potential with a lot of their players, and Patrick Laine is another one added to that list. I think the first line, as I said earlier, took a big step last year. So I wonder, Jake, do you think the Habs are kind of a sleeper team this year in terms of maybe circling around, making a playoff push? I don't know if I'm comfortable saying that they're going to make the playoffs, yeah, but I could see them honestly being one of the first or second teams out this season.
It's hard to get there for playoffs because obviously that would be a big leap based on where they've been the last couple of seasons. And look, guys, the Atlantic, like, how long have we been saying this about Atlantic Division teams? Buffalo, Ottawa, Detroit, you know, now Montreal's in that conversation as well. When are these teams going to take the step, make the playoffs? And you've got Florida there, you've got Tampa, you've got Boston, you've got Toronto. Do we think any of those four teams have taken a significant enough step back to allow one of those other teams into the playoffs? Pete, I don't know if you have a team that you think might be a little bit vulnerable from that top four and open up a spot to a Buffalo, a Montreal, like Anna just mentioned, anything like that?
I think even with Patrick Waugh being around for a full season, I think the Islanders are going to come out this year. So that'll open up a wild card spot for either Detroit or Buffalo, or maybe a Montreal or Ottawa. I think based on our projections, we have 43 wins tied with Tampa, Buffalo, and Detroit, and then Philly at 42 with Michkov right behind them. So they'll be in the wild card mix as well. For Laine, we have him projected for 53 points, so nothing too crazy. But I do think Montreal will be improved compared to last season, no doubt.
Pete said the first Buffalo mention of our entire podcast this season. I'm surprised he said Detroit first because I know he's pretty high on the Sabres. I just think it's going to be such a close season. I know we're going to debate a lot of these win totals and where these teams end up landing throughout this podcast, but the Montreal Canadiens, a sleeper team in fantasy drafts for sure, I think.
Well, and we're talking Buffalo here, guys. So I, you know, getting into the projections a little bit, Pete, what about Tage Thompson? I think he's such an interesting conversation in fantasy hockey this year, right? Comes onto the scene, has that awesome season, really pops, disappoints a lot of owners last year, obviously. I mean, if Buffalo is going to bounce back and you believe in a Sabres bounce back and then possibly pushing for a playoff spot, you got to believe a little bit in Tage Thompson leading the way, right?
Right. I don't think he's going to be as high point wise as he was two seasons ago. Remember, Lindy Ruff enters the room or re-enters the equation for Buffalo. I do think he'll make that team, you know, three or four wins better, at least in this first year. Long term, I have no idea what this means, you know, if he'll be around for multiple years. He came for one reason only, to end that playoff drought, and he will make Tage Thompson and Dahlin and the rest of that roster better, I think, just even if the stats don't improve necessarily, like the individual point stats. So that's what I'm looking at. Overall, the team will be better, Anna.
I think Tage Thompson is going to be like the clear guy carrying the brunt of the load in Buffalo. I want to get your take on this though, Jake. I wonder how many points or how successful JJ Paterka is going to be this season. And that's kind of like the X factor for me in Buffalo. They're losing some pieces. They're trying to figure out where they stand as a team. They've kind of been on the edge looking in for the past couple of seasons, and he's the big difference maker in my eyes. So I wonder if you have a take about what his season's going to look like.
I do. I became a big JJ Paterka fan last year, guys. And I like the opportunity for him in this lineup. And now, okay, they've moved on from Jeff Skinner. I didn't necessarily love buying him out. I think if you're a team like the Sabres, are you really in a position to be buying guys out? I don't know if I necessarily love that from a hockey perspective, but hey, he's gone. He moves on to Edmonton. That just opens up only more offensive opportunities in this lineup. And Paterka has shown he loves to shoot the puck, and we love that in fantasy hockey. We know we're going to get our shots on goal, and he's going to stuff a lot of stats. So Paterka is somebody down that lineup, you know, past a Tage Thompson, who you'd have to spend a high pick on, that I would certainly have a lot of interest in.
In our point projections, we have Alex Tuch right now at 69 and JJ Paterka at 68. Jake, who do you think ends this season with more points between the two of them?
I think the projections are fair. I do feel like those guys are going to be close. It probably comes down to line assignments. I do still think, as much as I just sung the praises of Paterka, I do still think that the Tuch has the higher floor in this situation, where I feel like I know he's going to get the top line minutes, the power play time, everything like that. So it would still be Alex Tuch for me, but I do think Paterka has potential to score 30 plus goals this year.
An interesting note for sure on Buffalo, like when you compare it to last year and the full body of work. Remember, they started slow. They got Bowen Byram at the deadline. We have him for fringe 50 points. I think that could happen even if everybody stays healthy. Remember, he was playing top pair, Anna, with Rasmus Dahlin. And also a big wrinkle for Buffalo is Jack Quinn. He was injured for the majority of last season. I'm really high on that player from his rookie season. I think he could score 25. Maybe he scores more goals than Patrick Laine next year.
It could happen. We never know. But moving on to some other teams in the Atlantic Division, want to quickly talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs to you, Jake. I feel like they're always the team where we have so many players so, so high up in terms of point projections heading into the season. And a lot of their players usually end up hitting a lot of these milestone marks. I wonder if there's a player that's sticking out to you in Toronto that you're expecting to have a crazy season this year.
Well, one thing Toronto does well, guys, it's certainly not win playoff games and playoff rounds specifically. They can actually win playoff games. Winning rounds is what's difficult for them. But scoring goals in the regular season is something that the Leafs do really well and very consistently, and they have for years, right? So that's something that I trust from a fantasy hockey perspective. I still like all their top guys. I mean, Marner's a tricky one with everything going on there, all that noise. How does he handle it? That's going to be a pressure cooker for him this year. But Pete, I'm curious your take on William Nylander, right? Contract year last year, absolutely crushes it. Back-to-back 40 goal seasons. He flirts with 100 points. Do you think he's a 100 point guy, or was he just a guy in a contract year that decided, yeah, I want to make some cash and I'm going to play my best hockey?
I think he's reached a new level in his game. I think he should be considered in the first round of fantasy drafts. We have him projected for 100 points, Anna, and he's going to be either with Tavares or Austin Matthews, and then with both of them on the power play. I think the captaincy change takes a little pressure off JT. Things always felt a little weird ever since he went up to Toronto in that fashion that he did. So Matthews will take that pressure off of him. Whether Nylander's up top with Matthews or on his own line like he was last year, I think he gets to the century mark this year.
I think William Nylander is a 100-point player, and I think the Toronto Maple Leafs probably have the most fantasy value in terms of just individual players on their roster. So I'm going to, if I had to guess one team that's getting the most players taken in the first round of drafts, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. But William Nylander's been so underrated. I've been singing his praises since I was in university in Toronto, and finally he's proving me right, and it seems like people are getting on board.
Again, it's tough to ask him to do more than what he did last year, right, guys? 40 goals, close to 100 points. I don't know where we can go from there, but I do think that he can back it up. Another player I think that can back it up, and I'm curious to get both your takes on this. And I think a team, a lot of people are calling for some regression in the Vancouver Canucks. Can they back up what they did last year? Is JT Miller one of the more underappreciated fantasy players going right now, like 100-point guy? Pete, where do you have him projected, and what do you think of JT Miller? Do you think we get some value on him in fantasy drafts? Like, he doesn't get treated like your usual first round talent.
Yeah, I mean, in multi-category leagues, like, few players are better than him year after year after year. He hit 100. We have him for 98 here, just because there's always a little variation in that Canucks forward group. Like, 1 year Pettersson gets 100. Last year, Miller did it. Maybe Quinn Hughes does it this year, and they could regress as a team a little bit. But yeah, we did get fan questions delivered by Skip about JT Miller. Should you take Miller or Kirill Kaprizov in the late first round? I might lean Kaprizov if it's a points-only league, because we have him projected for over 100 this year, Anna.
And if Kaprizov's healthy, I think Kaprizov is the go-to answer there. He has more upside. But JT Miller, what Jake said, is absolutely one of the most underrated players. He's had three consecutive 30-goal seasons. He's always kind of been around that 100-point mark, at least 80 in that span. So he's a guy who's proven that he's consistent, regardless of whether he's slightly down 1 year, slightly up 1 year. The only thing that kind of worries me about JT Miller is, once again, there's only one puck to go around on certain teams, and the Vancouver Canucks definitely have a lot of players that can play the puck and be productive offensively. And JT Miller's shot volume last year was a little bit concerning. You don't usually see a guy who has over 100 points having under 200 shots on goal. So if that kind of continues, you wonder if his points are going to take a hit. Still, though, the 90s range is pretty fair for JT Miller, I think.
Well, and Vancouver asked JT Miller to do a lot away from the puck, maybe less so with a guy like Kirill Kaprizov, where Minnesota's like, okay, the leash is off, go do whatever the heck you want offensively, we'll figure out the rest. Miller's out there in all situations, and he plays a ton of minutes. He's such an important player for Vancouver, so I would certainly go with Kaprizov there, just because there's the higher ceiling. I mean, I could see him going out and scoring 50 goals this year, guys. I think he's got that kind of talent in this league, so I'd go Kaprizov. But certainly wouldn't sleep on JT Miller either. If he slips into a second round, I would love to have him as my second pick off the board.
It's such an interesting debate, though, if your league counts like faceoff wins, if it counts hits and stuff like that. Like, JT Miller really is so far up there. Someone was mulling as their last keeper Brady Tkachuk or JT Miller, and their league does count all those peripheral categories. And like, overall, Anna, you like the status of Vancouver as a playoff contender a lot more than Ottawa. I mean, Brady Tkachuk's never played in the playoffs before.
The Ottawa Senators' regular season stats, though, always surprise me and everyone else, because they, like Jake said about the Toronto Maple Leafs, he said they can win like games in the playoffs, they can't win rounds. The Ottawa Senators can play well during games, they just can't win games. So I don't necessarily take their overall team performance as an indicator for a guy like Brady Tkachuk, who's such a good category coverage player in fantasy and has such high upside. So I might actually lean Tkachuk in that situation. I feel like a more fair comparison, though, is JT Miller or Sidney Crosby, Jake. Like, I wonder which one of those two you would draft.
Well, they actually play a pretty similar style, and that is a good question. As much as I love Sid, probably one of the world's biggest Sid fans, I'd have to go JT Miller right now with where both of these teams are at. Yeah, it's nothing against Sid, but I'm a little bit worried about where that Penguins roster is going now, guys. Gensel off now for a full season. Like, who is Sid going to be playing with? Yeah, Gino's still there on the power play, but he's getting older as well. I don't know. I think I'm off the Penguins from a fantasy perspective for the most part this year. Pete, do you maybe buy into like an Erik Karlsson bounce back or something like that? Or hey, maybe we're still all in on Sid Crosby. You certainly don't want to doubt this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not drafting Carlson or Letang or Malkin. Maybe I'll take Crosby in the late first, early second round, but and maybe I'll take like a late stab in a keeper league on this Rutger McGroarty from Michigan that they traded for from the Winnipeg Jets. That feels like a last hope to try to, you know, better the team here for Crosby's contract year. So that's going to be a storyline that really mounts for that franchise all season long, especially if they miss the playoffs again. They missed it 2 years in a row, and they're probably going to miss it again this year with the roster they're shaping up, Anna.
I would keep an eye on Michael Bunting in the waiver wire once the season starts, just depending on his lineup placement. I think he thrives when he's attached to a very high-quality center, so if he gets the opportunity to play with Sidney Crosby, that's a player to keep on your fantasy roster for a short period of time. Other than that, that's it for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm done with this team. We didn't even give producer Bob Bender a trigger warning before mentioning Erik Karlsson, because I know that always makes him a little bit upset when his name is brought up on this podcast. But moving on to a different team in the Metro, the Washington Capitals intrigue me. They really do, because they managed to make the postseason last year, and I've been waiting for them to go into this official rebuild, and they always keep bringing in these interesting pieces where it keeps them competitive year after year. Like, they're having like a half rebuild, half not rebuild, and they're just swarming around these waters, Jake. So adding Pierre-Luc Dubois, adding these little pieces, does that make a difference in your eyes for Washington?
I don't think I've made too many friends in Washington, D.C. with some of my takes on what the Capitals have been doing over the last few months. But hey, you got to be honest sometimes. And I'm not really sure with the direction of this team and some of the moves that they've been making. But from a strictly from a fantasy perspective going into this year, I do think that there's still some value. I mean, clearly they're trying to still win. They're trying to still make the playoffs as Ovi chases Gretzky. I'm just more concerned about what this team's going to look like two, three, 4 years down the road. But they're still trying to win. They're still trying to get better, score more goals. Guys, I kind of think Ovi has a monster year this year. I don't, Pete, I don't know if you have a take on this. Obviously, last year was disappointing. He picked it up in the second half. They did make the playoffs. I think he comes in with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, obviously a target in mind too, to chase Gretzky. I wouldn't be shocked if we're like a month into the season and we look at the goals leaders and we see Ovi's name up there with everybody again. I don't know, Pete, do you have a thought on that?
Right. He doesn't have to catch Austin Matthews and win the Rocket or anything crazy like that. He just has to get to 42, and that's doable for him with that shot volume and the help all around him. Right. He played a lot with Dylan Strome last year. Anna, I know you like what he brought to the table last year. There's also Pierre-Luc Dubois new in the room. There's Andrew Mangiapane, who can finish himself. And then also Jacob Chychrun on the back end. So the team overall got better. They also added Logan Thompson. Nice little tandem with him and Charlie Lindgren. But like overall, I feel like a lot of the other teams in the Eastern Conference got even better than Washington did. So we have Washington regressing -5 wins this season.
I think they overperformed as a team last season. But a lot of these pickups like intrigue me. If Alex Ovechkin has a monster year, like Jake said, are you taking a look at Dylan Strome to have a career best year this year as well? Because he's been performing well. I think he could be a steal in fantasy. Jacob Chychrun as well, Jake. Like, adding him, I'm looking at this roster. There's a lot of players people were very, very high on different teams that have found their way to the land of lost toys in Washington. So you wonder if he's going to have a bounce back year, be able to finally prove himself, because he's had so many injuries that derailed his fantasy value early on in his career, and we haven't really seen what he's capable of.
I've been down the Jacob Chychrun road so many times, guys. At some point, you just got to quit these players. But I hope he stays healthy. I want to see it work out there. Thomas Chabot's another one that I'm like, I just had to quit this guy because I can't do it anymore with this player. Pete, there's one guy I really want to get your opinion on in terms of your projections, where you ranked him. Zach Hyman of the Edmonton Oilers. I think a fascinating case coming off of the monster season last year. Is that legitimate? Do you think he backs that up? That, you know, does he factor in high in your rankings now based on the goal total that he put up last year? Obviously, he's still playing with the big boys there in Edmonton. Or do we see a little bit of regression from a guy like Hyman?
I think because he gets all those high danger shots on goal, he's been leading the league 2 years in a row, right, Anna? And also the goals department from those, you know, prime areas. I think that you could bank on 80, 90 points from this guy at this point, and you should take him in the top 25 overall. So does that answer your question? I think I'm pretty solidified on Zach Hyman at this juncture. And even if he's not with McDavid, he'll be with contract year Leon Draisaitl. So all good in my book.
We have him at 86 points, and I think that's fair, like somewhere in the 80s for Zach Hyman, just because of the exposure he gets on that Edmonton team. I wonder who you would rather have in fantasy, because also at 86 points, we have Philip Forsberg, Jake. So if you had to draft between one of those two, which way are you leaning?
I mean, that Preds offense, guys, what is that going to look like? Get the napkin out and try to figure out what those line combinations are going to be for night one. So I actually still think I'm going to go with Hyman because I want a piece of that Oilers power play. And I do think what he did last year is legitimate. He carried it over into the playoffs as well. So I just think he kind of knows what he is at this point. He's going to score a lot of goals in that Oilers offense. And it's still in the back of my mind, worry that Forsberg's going to get hurt at some point. I hope he doesn't. And if he stays healthy on a per game basis, he is one of the better goal scorers in the league, guys. But yeah, I'm going Hyman over Forsberg there.
And when we look at Nashville overall, are we having recency bias here? Because based on our team win projections, of course, Askarov is off to San Jose. We'll get to that in a bit. But Saros is the clear number one there for now. We have Nashville, Jake, projected for 49 wins, which is the fourth most in the entire NHL, behind only Dallas, Edmonton, and the New York Rangers. Are you buying or selling on Nashville reaching that number in the win projection total?
I think I'm almost holding at this point. I think they're bought up, right? Like you said, the projections love them, and I'm not shocked, right? You bring in a couple talented players like Steven Stamkos and Marchessault, and heck, Brady Shea on the back end as well. I think that's going to help them win a lot of games. That's probably the ad not enough people are talking about in Nashville, right? The shiny objects up front, but you know, the good solid defenseman on the back end. I think that's what's really going to help them win a lot of hockey games this year. So I do like the Preds. I think maybe they got a touch aggressive in the offseason. I'm excited to see how it plays out, but I'm going to be a little bit wary because I feel like a lot of us are going to be in on the Preds, maybe overrating them a little bit in year one and trying to implement a lot of players into this roster. Anna, do you have any thoughts on the Preds? Are you in or out this year?
I'm surprised you said that, Jake, because you're the OG Pred supporter on this
I
podcast
know.
heading into the
I
playoffs
was
this past year.
early on the Preds.
You started this trend. You're like a trendsetter in the NHL world. I like the Nashville Predators. I think they made some very solid moves. What you said about Brady Shea is spot on. I think he was a big factor in Carolina. People don't realize and how consistent they were with their success year after year, and bringing that to Nashville, it's huge. Steven Stamkos is where Pete and I are kind of disagreeing a little bit in our points projections, okay? Because when we're talking the most underrated players in the league, he's right up there for me because he performs well year after year and he's getting older. But I think he's still an 80-point player, Jake. And we have him at 79 in our point projections. I would go as high as saying 85 for Steven Stamkos. Where do you land on him specifically with him being on the Preds this season?
I think I trust him a little bit more than Marchessault coming over. And again, that chip on the shoulder. Okay, I want to prove some people wrong. I want to prove Tampa wrong, right? For maybe not wanting to keep me in the fold and trying to go for the younger player. And look, Stammer's still coming off a great season. I know it was playing with Nikita Kucherov, and he doesn't have him there anymore, but he's still got some very talented players in Nashville when you look at that top six. So it's not like he's going to some rebuilding team. He's going to have line mates. He's going to get that power play assignment. And I just trust in a guy like Stammer. He's tried and true, and I think he's going to hit the ground running in Nashville.
Well, the problem is, I'll quote Nick Alberga, too many cooks in the kitchen for Nashville. 340 plus goal scorers last year between Forsberg, Marchessault, and Stamkos. And overall, like, Kucherov and Hedman are no longer on his side, nor is Braden Point, who has had 40 plus goals in back-to-back seasons. Only eight players in the league have done that. So I think that all those Tampa guys I would draft ahead of Stamkos, you know, not to knock them too hard. I think there'll be an adjustment period. Even if Nashville is an elite team, I'd take Hedman over him. I'd take Point over him. I'd take Gensel over him. You know what I'm saying? I'm still thinking that Tampa will put up bigger numbers than Nashville as an offense.
What about the Canes this year, guys? Anna, that this is more of a question for you. This is your house account, I feel like, with the Hurricanes. Any goaltending takes, right? Kochetkov, Freddie Anderson. I don't know how you're thinking that whole thing plays out. Maybe Marty Natchez and that situation. Where are you at on the Hurricanes? Do you actually think that they could possibly take a step back, like some are saying this year?
I think they are going to take a step back just a tad bit this season. I think they're still going to be a competitive team, but last season was one of their best opportunities to actually get the job done, in my opinion. And it was losing Brady Shea, it's losing Brett Pesce, it's losing all these key pieces in their lineup that makes me a little bit concerned. Jake Gensel not coming back to Carolina. It's a little bit concerning with some of these holes. Specifically, Brett Pesce is where I'm concerned about their win total long-term, because he was such a big factor on that defense, which was such a strong point for this Hurricanes team. For their goalies, I have them neck and neck. I think they're going to split 50-50. They're going to be a true tandem. I wouldn't be surprised if Pyotr Kochetkov ends the season with more wins than Freddie Anderson, but I think it's going to be an even split pretty much. We have Anderson at 25. We have Kochetkov at 23. I think that's exactly where it's going to be. If you're in a keeper league, Pyotr Kochetkov is a goalie to keep your eye on, because I think he has such insane potential in this league going forward, even if it's not necessarily this season. And to round out your question, Marty Natchez coming back to the Hurricanes. He's done well there. I know there were some concerns about whether he wanted to stay or not, but he's done well whenever he's been there. I could see him being like a 65-point player, to be honest, Pete.
I do think down the road, Kochetkov has like a really high ceiling, like being in the Vezina top three in the next couple of years, if he can run away with the starting job. But another guy, Freddie Anderson, I know he had a hiccup in the playoffs, but the guy had 13 wins in 16 games last year. I mean, if he's healthy, he had the blood clotting issue, right? Like if he's healthy, he could easily get 30 plus wins if Stuart Skinner can, right?
Well, yeah. And that's, I mean, looking at Freddie Anderson, he might just be a guy I have to just cross out at this point. It's unfortunate because what you said there, Pete, 16 games, that's the problem. The 13 wins in 16 games is great, you know, per game basis. I mean, Carolina is so good, so structured. I think anybody could win games for them. So all due respect to Freddie Anderson, if I'm only getting 16 games from you, I don't know. I can't spend a too high of a pick. I think I'd rather go for a goaltender that I could trust a little bit more.
Jake lives in Toronto. We should have known his take on Freddie Anderson before you asked that question, Pete. But last question for the Carolina Hurricanes. I think these two players are going to be neck and neck in the point totals for this season. So I wonder, Jake, which one you would rather draft in fantasy, Seth Jarvis or Andrei Svechnikov?
I'm going to go Svechnikov here, guys. I'm going to be a little bit stubborn on him. I feel like every year I say, this is the year. This is the year Svechnikov pops, and maybe we see him go for 40 goals because he's always flashed that potential that he can be an elite goal scorer, and Carolina desperately needs that, guys. I know they're a great team. They're a scoring by committee team. They can spread things out, but they need a gun. They need someone they can trust in those big games, in those big moments, and I've always felt like Svechnikov is that guy. So one more year, Andrei Svechnikov, I'm in on him this year, guys. Pete, what about you?
Well, I think Jarvis has made quite an impression. Like last year was a big fantasy steal in the playoffs, 9 points in 11 games, including a team leading 5 goals. To me, like Jarvis has a higher ceiling than Svechnikov based on what I've seen in recent years. And he's more likely to stay healthy, I think. But they both dealt with some injury in their career, to be fair. But I would go Jarvis, especially in a points league, pretty convincingly over Svechnikov at this point.
I'm split down the middle. I'm really split down the middle because I'm so high on both of these players. I think with category coverage, though, Andrei Svechnikov slightly edges out Seth Jarvis for me, Pete.
No, that's very fair. And let's circle it back to the conversation we were having earlier about Nashville's goaltending and Yaroslav Askarov, deemed by some people as the best goalie prospect out there who hasn't yet taken on a full-time NHL role. Interesting, Jake, right? The Sharks had 19 wins last year, and this year we have Askarov projected for like around 19-20 wins himself, and the Sharks as one of the most improved teams in the league, even though they could still be pretty bad. What are your realistic expectations for Askarov in San Jose in the short and long term?
Okay, I kind of love that Barry Trotz was just like, yeah, you want to get traded? I'm going to trade you to the worst team in the National Hockey League. And I know, look, a couple of years down the road, we could be looking at the Sharks and saying, wow, look what they've built, right? With all this great young talent and Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and now Askarov in net. But I did kind of like that from Barry Trotz to say, yeah, you don't want to be here. We've got a great thing going. We're just going to, you know, wash our hands of this situation. I actually thought they got a pretty good return back for him as well, dealing from that point. But from a fantasy perspective, guys, it's got to be a wait and see approach. I don't know if I can get in on any Sharks goaltender right now. The sample size on Askarov is extremely small at the NHL level. So we don't even know if he can play well at the NHL level, and he's going to be thrown into the fire in San Jose like that. So it's not going to be for me this year. Anna, I don't know if you have any interest, you're willing to jump in the fire on a Sharks goalie.
No, but I would
No.
consider him in keeper league. So if I'm taking a look at the dynasty leagues in the future, then he would be of interest to me. I don't think there's many sharks that are sticking out to me this season. Macklin Celebrini is probably one of the ones that I'm taking a look at. We have him at 60 points exactly, Pete. Last season at this time, we had the big discussions about Connor Bedard and the way he was going to break out into the scene. And it's Macklin Celebrini's turn. So how are you feeling about him this year?
Yeah, I mean, so many garbage points there up for grabs, right? Remember Erik Karlsson 2 years ago? The Sharks were terrible, missed the playoffs by a wide margin. He had 100 plus points. So it's not like you can't put up big numbers on a bad team like that. We have him for 60, Celebrini. We have Will Smith for 59. We have Jake Walman for the best number of his career. He's a good edge stats standout in terms of the goals he was scoring. Jake as the third defenseman in Detroit. Like savvy little move. Mike Greer has made up for the first couple of years of his tenure. I feel like he's had a great offseason. I feel like the Sharks, to answer your question, Anna, will put up garbage points. So expect those two rookies from San Jose to be among the league leaders in their class.
Let's hit on the other young California team quickly here as well, guys, that have a lot of options, right? And way more options than San Jose. Obviously, San Jose, we're excited about Celebrini, and they're a little earlier in the rebuild. Whereas Anaheim, I mean, they should be making improvements. They obviously didn't last year, but what do we think about Cutter Gauthier, year two, Leo Carlson, Zegras? Is he gonna bounce back? Like, there's so many names in Anaheim, I think, that could have a big season. Anna, is there any in particular that jump out to you in Anaheim?
I want to see what Cutter Gauthier does. I feel like he also has like a little bit something to prove in this league. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be an insane season, but maybe like a steal in very, very, very late rounds in super deep leagues, or someone to keep an eye on in dynasty leagues in fantasy. He kind of piques my interest. I wonder what's going to happen to Mason McTavish. That's always kind of been my thing. He's been a player I've been very high on the Anaheim Ducks, and honestly, he was probably one of my favorite options on that team last year, but with the lineup placement and all this young talent that they have, Pete, I wonder if he falls into their bottom six and if his fantasy value retains anything, if so.
You know what I want to see Anaheim do? I want to see them keep the two buddies together, Zegras and Terry on one line. And I want to see a loaded Dynasty League special with McTavish, Leo Carlson, and Cutter Gauthier. That would really be exciting from a fantasy standpoint, Jake. And maybe could even elevate Gauthier to be a sleeper for the Calder Trophy. I think the safest play among rookies is Logan Stankoven. We have him for 62 to lead his class, but Gauthier can catch him if that ends up being the line trio, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the Ducks could look like, guys. I mean, they have to start moving in the positive direction at some point. I thought last year was extremely disappointing. Whenever you're playing that many young players, it's a learning experience, of course, but they've got some talent. At least be fun to watch and score some goals. We'll take that for fantasy hockey. I don't need to ask you to be a playoff team. You mentioned Stankoven there, Pete. Is there any worry for him to maybe take a bit of a step back? Not from a talent perspective. I mean, he looks like an incredible player, but we saw it with Robertson, we saw it with Hintz last year. Dallas is a little bit more spread out in the way they like to do things. So could that maybe affect Stankoven a little bit this year, where Dallas's offense is just so spread out?
Maybe if he's not on the same line as Wyatt Johnston, if Johnston, say, gets playing up top with Hintz and Jason Robertson, that could be a problem for Stankoven's short-term ceiling. But if he's with Wyatt Johnston, I could sleep well at night knowing those guys are going to probably become their top-line duo of the future very, very soon. We've already seen stretches of it. And then, he could move up there himself, Stankoven. He could play wing. He's played some wing in the NHL already and has been very productive. So overall, I would trust Dallas. I think Dallas and Edmonton are the two best teams in the NHL based on our point projections and stuff like that.
I was just about to say, Pete, if we had to choose really quickly a team we thought was going to end up winning the President's Trophy this season, who would it be? Because it might be the Dallas Stars for me, to be honest.
Yeah, Dallas feels like that way, right? Like they're about to just dominate this regular season. They got three strong lines and two strong defense pairs, like nobody else in the league, it feels like. So I think that they could win the President's Trophy. They probably will. And then it'll just boil down to those high pressure cooker situations in the playoffs. Can they finally get it done? Feels like they get to the Final Four every year, right, Jake? But they can't ever deliver the goods.
I'll give you the President's Trophy winner right now. It's the Boston Bruins, actually. They will be winning the President's Trophy and the Atlantic Division. I love the Atlantic Division number for the Bruins, around 5-1. That's a bet I am certainly making this year. And I'll sprinkle a little on the President's Trophy as well, but it's very competitive at the top of the board.
So Anna, this was another player we disagreed on a little bit. I know you were high on Joseph Wall for like 33 or 34 wins. I think I docked it down to 33. You were lower on Jeremy Swayman than I am. He still has his contract still to be figured out, but I would expect him, unless Boston's a little, crazy here, to get him signed before the start of training camp and the season, of course. But Swayman versus Joseph Wall is a great debate. We have Swayman at 34 and Wall at 33, to be specific in our projections.
Well, we know where I stand on this. I am a Joe Wall defender. If he is healthy, he is going to be the goalie I've been most excited about on the Toronto Maple Leafs, probably in my lifetime, to be honest. And so I'm taking a look at him having a breakout year. Toronto's a great team. It's a solid team. And one of its biggest concerns has consistently been their goaltending. And Joe Wall has shown flashes of how good he can be when he's healthy and he's locked in. So if I had to roll the dice, just given the depth of the Maple Leafs and the fact that the Boston Bruins, I know I say this every year, and I know I end up regretting saying this every year, but the end has to eventually come, Like there has to be the still look at Jake. Jake's already disagreeing with me. The decline has to eventually be here, and Toronto's going up, Boston is up, and I think that like Toronto's gonna catch him.
You will regret that, Anna, because Boston just never dies. They're always there. I actually thought they had a great offseason bringing in these pieces as well, but I do like Toronto too on the other end of that. I think both of those teams are going to push Florida for the top spot in the Atlantic Division. I could see Florida having like a decent regular season, good enough to make the playoffs, you just win the cup, whatever. We'll finish somewhere in that top three. I could see Toronto and Boston having a good fight for that top spot in the Atlantic Division this year.
It'll be very interesting and an interesting list for sure to check out. NHL.com/fantasy, the forward projections. We got 12 guys for 100 plus points this season. You can go on the site and see who those guys are. And then I wanted to also throw out there, I know Bob Bender was high on Connor Bedard last show. We have him projected for better than a point per game at 85 points. Nick thinks he has a higher ceiling than that, but that will rest assured be decided in the regular season. It's going to be a fun thing to monitor all year, right, Jake?
Oh, well, yeah, but that'll be great to follow this year. I'm excited to see what his goal total can be, right? And if it can help Chicago maybe move up the standings a little bit, but I think Bedard's in for a monster year here, guys. I do. They've surrounded him with a little bit more talent. Still not quite a complete project there in Chicago, but I think there's a couple more weapons to keep the defense honest. And I think Bedard's going to take a good strong run at like 45 goals this year.
If that's the number we're setting it at, I'm taking the over on points for Connor Bedard. Okay, second time's the charm. He disappointed us last year in our Fantasy on Ice little bet, but this time Bob Bender is going to cry. So,
guys, the season's just about a month away, if you can believe it. Everybody, hope you have a great Labor Day weekend and check out the other season preview episodes that we've done so far, rankings and also off-season moves. Once Nick is back, we'll get a mock draft 1.0 going. Looking forward to that. But until then, for Anna Dua, Jay Kahn, this is Pete Jensen saying so long. And thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.